you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's Word, and we're going to read out of Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 is going to be our reading before we get into the text of Hebrews 11, but I want to read Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Let us pray. Father, we pray that your comforter would come today and speak to us and encourage us. Lord, to not grow weary in life. Father, to continually fix our eyes on you, and that we would look to you who is the author and the finisher of our faith, and that we would run with endurance, God. Father, as we begin to look at Hebrews chapter 11, I pray that you would give us ears to hear. Help us to hear the voices of Scripture speak encouragement to us today, to always look to you. Father, help me to preach plain and clear and with guidance on your Holy Spirit. For out of all the people in the house this morning, I realize the judgment of my life and dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, this being Memorial Day, we want to do welcome everybody a happy Memorial Day, Memorial Day weekend. And the reason for it was to remember our men and women who have fought for our country, who have passed on, to remember them. And we do want to remember all of those who have fought for our country, for our freedom that we possess, that are now no longer with us. We want to remember them. We want to remember those who died in service, and we want to honor them this morning. Also, Memorial Day weekend has also been a time where we've reflected on just those of our loved ones that have went on, and many people, maybe this weekend you'll go to different grave sites, maybe your mom, your dad, your grandparents, and you'll just kind of reflect a little bit. And so this morning, as we look at the text in Hebrews chapter 11, the title of this message is When the Dead Still Speak. When the Dead Still Speak. And I want you to listen this morning, and I pray that as we look at Hebrews chapter 11, that we will allow these Old Testament saints, that we will hear their voices this morning, and they will speak to us things that will help us live our faith out in Jesus. In Hebrews 11, starting with verse 1, it begins with the very foundation of faith, what faith is. It says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Faith in the Christian worldview is not some just blind faith in something that is phantom, that it's a reality, that it is an assurance that the Word of God is true, that God has revealed himself, that there is a man named Jesus who is the God-man who came and walked among us, that he died on a cross, he rose again, and he's coming back the third day. That our faith is through the Word of God, in the Word of God, Jesus, who died for our sins. So our faith is in the person and the work of Christ on the cross. So it's not just some blind faith in something that we don't know or have been, that we have never heard of or that has not been taught to us, but our faith is grounded in the personal work of Christ our Lord. So faith. "For by it," by faith, "men of old gained approval." By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made of things which are visible. So by faith, by very faith, we believe that all that we have today, all this world, the world that we live in, the world that we see, the universe around us, was made by the very word of God. And in Genesis, it declares that in the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. And it said, God said, "Let there be," and there what? Was. By the very power of his word, the heavens were created and made. that you're not an accident, that you're not here by mistake, that you just didn't evolve here somehow, some way. No, that men and women are made in the very image of God, that He made us to know Him. And that our greatest purpose in life is not what we can get out of this for ourselves, but that we can know God, our Creator, our Maker, personally through His Son by the Holy Spirit. We're told that Jesus is the very Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Paul declares that Jesus is the one who is upholding the universe by His power. And so by faith, we believe that we hear, we are in existence, and we come into being because of the power of the Word by the power of Christ. Then we get to verse 4, where we get to hear about the old saints. And I'm going to ask you today to listen. To listen to what they say, to listen to their voice if we could, because the dead, they still speak. So what do you do when the dead still speak? We listen. It says, by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, he still what? He still speaks. Abel is speaking to us this morning. Abel is talking. Can you hear his voice? Will you listen to what he's saying? For Abel, on the day when he came to the presence of God to make a sacrifice before God, he came and it says that he brought from the firstlings, the fattened portions, he brought his very best to God, and he brought the animal of sacrifice that would bring atonement for his sin. For Abel knew that he was a sinner in need of a Savior, that he came before a holy God, and he came to bring a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice that would be pleasing in God's sight, and that he might be declared holy before God, that his sins might be forgiven. Cain came bringing from the fruit of the ground that he had. It doesn't say that he brought his best. It doesn't say that he brought a sacrifice. It says that he brought his offering to God. And many theologians will make this decipher between the blood sacrifice that Abel brought and just from the fruit of the ground that Cain brought. And this is the first worship war in history, where God was pleased at Abel's and displeased at Cain's. Why? Because Cain came bringing that which he wanted to bring to God and did it his way rather than coming to God on his terms. Do you realize we don't come to God on our terms? We go to God on His terms. And so when we want to receive forgiveness and mercy and grace, we must come to Him as a sinner in desperate need of a Savior and say, Lord Jesus, I am broken. I am undone. I come to the cross of Christ, who was the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. And I plead the blood of Him to be applied to my life so that I might receive Your grace. You see, Abel came with a blood sacrifice, a bloodless faith is no faith. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And so Jesus is that ultimate sacrifice. And Abel came as the publican prayed, and as the sinner came, and Jesus spoke, and the one said, I'm glad that I'm not like this sinner over here, for I do all of these good things. And then there's a sinner over here that's just beat his chest. He said, forgive me, God, the sinner. And Jesus said, that's the man that went away declared righteous. This morning, guess what? You don't bring your own stuff to God. You lay all your sin down to Him, and you come to Him and say, I need Your grace, God. I need Your mercy, God. I need You, for You are the way for my salvation. You can't add nothing to it. You realize that? You don't bring it. We don't do it His way. Worship is about coming to the foot of the cross. It matters not what style of worship you use. It doesn't matter if you have liturgy or not. It doesn't matter if you have a Book of Common Prayer or if you just, it doesn't matter if you have a robe on or a suit on or jeans on. What matters is, do you come depending totally on the work of Christ and what he did on the cross? For he is the atonement for our sin, and he is the one that paid for our sin, and he is the way for grace. Do you hear Abel? He says, come to God through the sacrifice of the blood. Do you hear him? He speaks today. If you think you're getting to heaven apart from Jesus, you're fooled. Our faith comes to know the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit. Abel speaks this morning. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. We read of Enoch. He's walking with God. Jude tells us that he prophesied, he declared God, he proclaimed God with his lips, he lived for God through his life, and he was known by a person who walked with God. And one day they were out on a journey, he's walking with God, and God looks at Enoch and says, you know what, we're a little closer to my home than yours, you want to just come on home? And he took him. Let me ask you this question, how is your walk with God? Would somebody look at your life and say, that's a person, and that's a man that walks with God. That's a woman that walks with God. Could it be declared that you are a person who walks with God? Are you talking with God? Do you speak to him? In the church life, we call this prayer. Do you pray? Or you just go out through your day and you just live your day without thinking about God? How's your walk with God? Do you only pray when circumstances happen? You think, oh my, I need to pray. Or is your life consumed with thinking on God, walking with God, talking with God throughout the day, reading from his word? Do you hear Enoch? He's saying, you said the dead still speak. He speaks today. He's telling you every step is worth it. Every step is worth it. Every step of obedience is worth it. Walk with him. Walk with him. Walk with him. Don't walk with the world. Walk with Christ. Walk with God. Do you hear Enoch declare that this morning? Without faith, verse 6, it says, it is what? Impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. You have to believe that God is. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So the person who's going to please God must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Are you seeking God? Do you diligently seek God? Do you live your life with a passion for God? Are you asking him, Lord, what do you want? What plans do you have for my life? Where do you want me to go? I'll go. Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Whatever you want to say, I'll say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm going to seek you. Listen to the voices. Listen to them. They speak. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence and holy respect, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Y'all remember Noah? Noah? The world had gotten so wicked, diabolical, that God said, I'm going to destroy the world. But there's a precious thing in the Bible that says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God called to Noah. He said, Noah, I want you to build an ark, for judgment is going to come. And he builds this abode out in this wilderness. And I'm sure people are starting to mock and ridicule and think, what in the world are you doing, Noah? It's going to rain. Judgment's coming. The world's going to be flooded. And every time he put a nail through the board and every plank that was put up, he was preaching the judgment of God. And so every time he drove a nail, he was condemning the world. He was saying, this world is going to be judged. You need to repent. You need to get in the ark. You need to be inside, for judgment is coming. You realize Jesus says that he's returning again. He's coming back. And we have people today that still would mock that and think that's ridiculous. Can you believe that these Christian people believe that Jesus is actually coming back again? And they think it's a joke. They think it's ridiculous. But do you hear Noah? He's speaking. He says, keep building the ark. Keep driving the nails. Keep declaring the gospel. Keep proclaiming the good news. Why? Because when Jesus comes, either before, if you die without Christ, if you're not in the ark, you're in trouble. You just don't need to be about the ark or around the ark or know about the ark or can do studies about the ark or have book discussions about the ark. You've got to be in the ark. The ark's in Jesus. You got to be in Jesus. You can't just know about Jesus. You can't just be able to talk about Jesus. You can't just know people that know Jesus. You've got to be in Christ. There's a difference, my friend, in knowing Jesus and just knowing about Jesus. For when he comes, you better be in Christ. If you die without Christ, or Jesus comes back, don't be looking at me on Judgment Day and going, you didn't tell us. I'll be like, he's lying, Lord. She's lying. We told him every Sunday, we declared that you got to know, you got to be in Jesus. If you go to hell, it's on you, right? It ain't on nobody but you. Why? Because you have heard that there is a man by the name of Jesus who is the God-man who died on the cross for your sin and my sin, and he was crucified and he rose again on the third day. If you want to know God the Father, you've got to be in Christ the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know him? You better hear. You better listen. He who has ears to hear, let him what? Here, by faith, Abraham, when he is called, obeyed by going out to a place where he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Y'all know Abraham, right? God called Abraham out and said, I want you to go. And Abraham said, all right, where are we going? I'll tell you. More specific, I'll let you know. All right, but you don't know, God, I like to have my 5-year plan out ahead, right? I got to get my 10-year agenda out. I got to be able to dot all my I's and cross all my T's. And when that last T is crossed, then I'll go. No, it's not what he did he? It's not what Abraham did. He went not knowing where he was going because he trusted in God. Can you hear Abraham speak this morning? He's saying, trust God. Trust him. Trust him. Yeah, but God, I don't have it all figured out. That's great. That's wonderful. Guess what? You can never have it all figured out. Amen. You can't figure it all out. So when he says go, you just say, yes, Lord, I'll go. And you just trust him. Trust him. Can you trust him? Do you hear him? He's speaking. Abraham's speaking, saying, you can trust God. Because I went on an amazing journey with God. And man, he was faithful. He's speaking today. We listen. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. He wasn't looking for this world to be his final home. He was looking for the place that only can be made by God. And that can only be discovered through faith. Don't fall in love with seeking this world. Seek the kingdom of God. Look for the city that only Jesus can build. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead, at that as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is in by the seashore. Remember Abraham and Sarah? They were old, too old to be having kids. But God made a promise. And when God makes a promise, he keeps it. How many of y'all have ever made a promise? How many of y'all have ever made a promise to somebody? How many of y'all have made a promise to somebody and you've broke it? Why do we do that? Because we're sinful. Because we have a fallen nature. We are not perfect. There is one promise keeper, and his name is God. And when he makes a promise, he keeps it. Even when it seems like there's no way that that can be answered, he says, if I made the promise, I'll keep it. Do you hear Abraham and Sarah? Do you hear what they're saying today? They're telling you, God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. And the Bible says, whoever confesses with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. Do you realize this morning that you got a promise from God that says in Christ Jesus you might have redemption and that you will be saved? That is a great promise from God, and he is a promise maker and he is a promise keeper. You can count on his promises. Do you hear him? Do you hear her? They're speaking. They're telling us today. God can be trusted. He can. All these died in faith without receiving the promises. Abraham never saw that great nation on this side of eternity. But having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, for those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But it says, as it is, they desire what? A better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, Jesus said. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. You hear him? Listen. Listen to the voice of the godly saints that have went on before us. And they would say, that city, oh, it's worth it. That city that only God can make. That city that only God can build. That's the one you desire. That's the one for you. By faith, verse 17, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who received the promise was offering up his only begotten son. For it was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendants shall be called. He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which they also received him back as a type. You remember the promise, I'm going to make you a great name, great nation. You have a son, the promised son to Abraham and Sarah. It was Isaac. And in Genesis it says that God told him to take his son, his only son, and to sacrifice him on the mountain. And they're going up the mountain and they're carrying the wood. And Isaac says, Father, I see we got the wood. Where's the lamb? Abraham says, God will provide. Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. He takes him up on the mountain, straps him down to the altar. He's going to sacrifice his son, his one and only son. Genesis, make sure we know. And then the voice of God says, stop. He looks over, and there's a ram that's caught in the thicket. God provides. This is a foreshadowing, a type of Christ, who is the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. For there is one Father who did sacrifice his one and only Son, and that is God, who sacrificed his Son Jesus for our sin. You hear Abraham speak today? He says this: you can trust God with your greatest possession. With the thing that you love the most, even if he says to lay it down and sacrifice it, you believe he can raise it back up. That no matter what you hold, the thing that you hold the dearest in your heart, let it go before the throne of God. You can trust him. Do you hear their voices today? The dead, they still speak. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. They tell us how to die well. We don't get to pick how we die. I pray that God allows me to live a long life by his grace, and I get to have my kids, get to have kids, and I have grandkids and great-grandkids. I'd love to be able to bring them around before I die on my last dying breath, and be able to have my family around me, my kids, my grandkids, my great-grandkids, and my wife, and be able to speak blessing over them and prayers over them and let them know it's worth it. God's worth it. He's faithful. He's faithful. And then breathe my last breath. Do you hear him today? By faith, when Joseph, when he was dying, you made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel, gave orders concerning his bones. And by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Do you hear the parents speak? Do you hear Moses' parents speak? They say, obey God. Obey God, not man. Obey God, not man. Even if man's decrees say this, if it is not in line with God, you obey God, not man. Fear no man but God. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. He was brought up in the house of Pharaoh, and Moses said, this is not who I am. I'm a Hebrew, and I will identify myself with God's people. No matter what that means, no matter if that means loss for me in this world, I'm willing to do it. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed to be called a Christian. Do you hear Moses? He says, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed to be called a Christian. Don't get around with your friends and then kind of be a silent Christian. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of your faith. Jesus says, if you're ashamed of me on earth, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. But if you confess me before men on earth, I'll confess you before my Father who's in heaven. Don't be ashamed. You hear Moses? Even though they ridicule you, even though they may make fun of you, even though they may persecute you, don't be ashamed. He considered the reproach of Christ, verse 26, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. He said, I would rather know God and be ridiculed and lose all the wealth that I could have had in the palace of Pharaoh. You know, it's dangerous to be an American at this time. You know that? Not because of the persecution, because of the luxury. Man, it's so comfortable, isn't it? I mean, isn't it nice to have heating and air in your home? Heating and air in your car, other than just rolling down your window. I'm so glad I don't live in the days where you had to do everything by fire. Amen? Right? I mean, isn't it great to go into your home and go, doot, 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 doot. Need it hotter? Doot, 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 doot. Need it colder? Oh, we've got so much entertainment. We've got so much technology. We've got a wealth of information right here. It's wonderful. It's awesome. And it's scary and dangerous. Because we can fall in love with the comforts of this world. That it makes us forget about the city of God. We can become so consumed in the luxuries of the city of man that we forget about the city of God. Moses says, don't do it. Don't do it. He was willing to leave it all, the riches from the palace, to be with God. Do you hear him speak? By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. He says, worship God. Worship God, you hear him? By faith they passed through the Red Sea as they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. Here they were. This was a strange military tactic. Every day go around, march around the city. Day one, day two, day three. On day seven, march around it 7 times. Blow your horn. That must have seemed crazy. But Joshua says, obey God. Obey God, and victory will come. Do you hear him speak? By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient. After she had welcomed the spies in peace, she had heard of the God of the Hebrews. And she feared that God more than the pagan gods. What more shall I say, the author says. For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, Daniel quenched the powers of fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, escaped the edge of the sword, David, from weakness were made strong, Hezekiah became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, women received back their dead by resurrection, Elisha. And others were tortured, not accepting their release, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. Jewish history tells us that Isaiah was sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with a sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. And a precious parenthetical statement here in the next verse that could preach its own message. It says, men of whom the world was not worthy. These men who lived and declared their faith and their love for God, the world didn't deserve. That's how God looks at them. But they're precious, they're his. Wanderings in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these having gained approval through their faith, they did not receive what was promised. They were still looking for the better hope. Because God provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. And then comes verse 12, what we open with, therefore, since we have such a great a cloud of witnesses before us, let us lay aside the weight of sin and let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And let us run with endurance. It's like walking to a museum that would have all of the great heroes of the faith around us. And we could look at their exploits and we could read of what they did for God, and we're walking in this museum and they're surrounding us. And they speak. Their faith is declared and we look at them and we say, I want to be like Moses and Abraham and Enoch and Abel. And I want to do as they did and put my hope and trust and faith in God, in Christ, and run this race with endurance all the way to the end.